I'm sorry if you weren't here last Sunday. We started a thought on this on last Sunday morning. I preached a point. I preached 3 points on Sunday night last week, and I got 2 more points. And I believe this will still help us. I've got us a tore up. I mean, we need to get to the glory. Amen. Guts are splattered all over the back wall right now. And God help, we need to find the grace in it. Say amen. So we'll take this text again tonight, and we'll finish what the Lord started on last week. Chapter number 15, verse 1. Now in the 18th year of King Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, reigned Abijam over Judah. 3 years reigned he in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Maacah, the daughter of Abishalom. And he walked in all the sins of his father which he had done before him. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as the heart of David his father. And nevertheless, for David's sake, did the Lord his God give him a lamp in Jerusalem to set up his son after him and to establish Jerusalem. Because David did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord, and turned not aside from anything that he commanded him all the days of his life, save only in the matter of Uriah the Hittite. Let us pray. Father, thank you now for your goodness. And God, I believe every second, every saint of God in here tonight can second the fact that it's well with our soul. God, the eternal security, Lord, that you've placed in our life, God, we're thankful for that. Thank you for the good singing and for the presence of God and the testimonies and the shouts and the praises. And God, we pray that it was pleasing and came to the nostril of God as the smell of a sweet savor. But now I pray, God, at this time, Lord, as you helped us this morning, no doubt, would you help us again tonight? Make preaching easy. God, deliver a thought, God, through this body, Lord, that would, Lord, encourage the saint of God. And Lord, if there's one that's lost, God, I pray that old-timey conviction would come their way. God, if there's one that slipped, God, fall into a way of sin again. May God, this be something, Lord, to stir their heart again and call them back to the cross, God, where there's still blood to cleanse. God, I'll thank you for that. Now, God, you help us, and we'll give you the credit, the glory, and the honor for all of it. We'll pray and ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated. I'm interested in this fifth verse here, talking about in the fourth verse even, nevertheless, for David's sake, even though one had done evil in the sight of God because of that godly heritage before him, God had said here, nevertheless, for David's sake. Amen. The Lord, his God, he gave him a lamp in Jerusalem. In verse 5, let's look at David. I won't spend a whole lot of time here on the introduction, but I want to get back into the message. Verse 5 says, because David did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. Thank God for that. We need some godly daddies. Amen. And turn not aside from anything that he commanded him all the days of his life. And then this last phrase, save only the matter of Uriah the Hittite. And we begin preaching on this thought. And I understand here that the Holy Ghost has made it real that David did that which was right in the eyes of God. We said that David was a man after God's own heart, that he was the apple of God's eye. But yet even the Holy Ghost here, and if you'll look in Matthew chapter number 1, you'll find in verse number 6 that David begat Solomon of her who had been the wife of Uriah. It seems like this matter here, as it's called, this matter of Uriah the Hittite continuously came up in the life of King David. As you're taking your Bible back to 2 Samuel, I'm going to say about chapter number 12, I'll finish what I'm saying. That being said, it seems like even though God, and we'll find that God did forgive David, we'll find that God was not trying to rub it into the face of David, but took this thought in his life and applied it to us, that you will not get away with sin. Amen. Let me say this tonight, and while God forgave David, and God, who sovereignly can do whatever he wants, who can choose to take our sin and put it behind his back, and cast it in the sea of forgetfulness, as far as east is from the west, never to remember. Now, I don't understand that. We serve an all-knowing God that can choose to forget, but he's God. He can do whatever he wants to. Somebody say amen. Now, I say that to say this. While God can choose to forget, sad to say, my friend, there'll be things in your life, if you're not careful, man will never let you live it down. Hey, I'm saying we got a good God, hey, that can forgive. We got a loving God that's full of grace and mercy. But you can fall so far in sin, hey, that man will never let you live it down. Getting preaching last week on that thought, you'll never live it down. We said by number, let me give you just a thought of where we were just to catch some of you up to speed. We said number one, there was the mistake in 2 Samuel chapter number 11. It started with time off. Y'all with me? Just staying at the house. All the kings, time of the year, the kings go to battle. And they decide to take just a little bit of time off. So during time off, we found the thoughtless obscenity. There's a woman out here bathing herself out across the way. Hey, on the rooftop, he steps out from his bedchamber, looks out across there and sees her, and sees the obscenity. Let me say this, it was not an accident. Hey, man, don't you know, hey, if you lived outside the king's window, don't you reckon you'd known that? Hey, man, there's her obscenity showing herself off and tempting the king. And then we see the temptation offered. She could have said no. He could have said no. He could have walked out there and seen her, went back in the house. He didn't only choose to see her after he saw her. He looked on her, lusted after her, brought her into the house, and lay with her as he would his own wife. Hey, man, David's mistake. Let me say this, you can make mistakes so big that you'll never live it down. Amen. Amen. We saw the misconduct that come from the leisure, the lust, and the lying. We see from it a son conceived, a soldier deceived. Sentence received and sorrow perceived. Made this great statement of truth. If you want to, write it down if you didn't last week. Remorse, regardless of how great, is not repentance. Let me say that again. Remorse, regardless of how great a remorse it is, that still is not repentance. Say, preacher, I don't believe that. What about Esau? Amen. He sought repentance with tears and found no place for it. Amen. Remorse is not repentance. Amen. Then we saw the message. Nathan, the man of God, came in. He's sent by the Lord. His message is sent by the Lord, shouted by the Lamb, and seen by the lascivious. Then we saw the mandate or the judgment. The mandate, there was David despicable after such gifts. He said, I'd have gave you such and such things. He said, I'd have gave you anything you wanted. We saw the danger around the sinner's guilt. And then we saw death that accompanied the sentence given. David lost this loved child he had with Bathsheba. He lost a son in chapter number 13, Amnon. He lost another son in chapter number 18, Absalom. And just shortly after his own death in 1 Kings chapter number 2, you'll find another son, Adonijah, was killed. Hey, I'm saying, look up here and hear me well tonight. You might think you've got away with some ungodly, wicked, vile sin. And you might feel like it's all right tonight. But come time, God will reveal sin. Be sure your sin will find you out. And it may be something you'll never live down. How in the name of God can you live down the fact that four babies are out there in the graveside? It may as well have been your very fault. For the man of God came with a message thundering from the Lord saying, the sword shall never depart from your house. Amen. That brings us about to where we are. Is everybody with me? If you are, say amen. Amen. There's the mistake, the misconduct, the message, the mandate. Let me say number five, there is, I want to say, the misery. Everything I've said up to this point would make you miserable. If you committed some awful ungodly sin, I believe God chastens his own. Say amen. If you don't believe that, you don't believe the Bible. If you don't believe the Bible, you're a heretic. If you're a heretic, you're not even saved. You can like that if you want to. I really don't give a rip. I'm preaching now. You ain't. Say amen. If you're not a Bible believer, friend, you're a heretic. Amen. The Lord chastens them that are his own. For if you be without chastisement, well, we all are partakers. Then you bastards are not sons. God chastens his own. What can I say? Sometimes in a life of sin so far from God, we'd been better off if God had killed us. I can take you by people and have them say, what's the worst thing that ever happened in your life after your sin? Say, God, come back. Let death creep into my palace and take one of my youngins. But can you imagine the life of David? How awful, how grievous, and how hurt he must be. Say, I lost four children, not because of what they've done, but because of sin that I've done. This matter concerning Uriah the Hittite, I've never lived it down. I wake up every morning and see what I've done, not because what God's done to me, but what I've done to myself because of my wicked, vile sin, of the matter concerning Uriah the Hittite. Amen. The misery, the pain, and I say this misery caused a divided house. Hear me in what I'm saying. Immediately after, boy, I want to get a little glory on the way. Chapter 12 and verse 24, and David comforted Bathsheba, his wife. She's just lost a love child. Went in unto her and lay with her. And she bare a son, and he called his name Solomon. And the Lord loved him. That name Solomon means peaceful or perfect. Boy, how comforting is Solomon in a time like this. She just lost a child. And she's going through the hardest time in her life. Right there in the midst of misery, God sends peace and perfection. Hey, I'm all about you. Bless your heart, but I'm telling you, when it gets bad, I'm glad God sends Solomon to my rescue. Oh, yes. There's been times when I needed comfort that only God could give. And God sends peace and perfection to comfort his own. Here, we find, even after this great truth, chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, and 18, depicts some of the greatest sorrowful commentary in the Word of God. You'll find a divided house. In chapter number 13, I can't read all this. Y'all gonna have to read it later. I'm just preaching it tonight. I will paraphrase right on through it. In chapter number 13, you'll find where Amnon sought after his half-sister Tamar. Boy, and it says over there in verse 3 that Amnon had a friend. This friend convinced him how to rape his own sister. Let me say this, if you got a friend that's going to teach you to do something wicked and vile, look up here, young people. Do something wicked and vile, that ain't the kind of friends you need. You get away from that crowd. Amen. Do what be pleasing in the eyes of the Lord and stay away from that crowd. He took his own daughter, his own sister. He forced her. She begged him not to. But boy, in a divided house, I don't know how sickening I can say this, how sickening it is, but to find rape right there in the household, to find incest, oh, how wicked. Can I imagine now, if you take your Bible and look over there in the 21st verse of the 13th chapter, but when King David heard of all these things, his very wrath, it made him mad. But don't you know it broke his heart to know that his little girl had to go through that torment. No, she had to be tortured by his own son. I'm telling you, I don't know if you can handle a house divided like that. It might be more than you can handle. Hey, you may not ever live that down. You can't handle what sin will do. It'll wreck your own house. Amen. Some of you allowed a little sin in. You've seen what sin has done in dividing your house. Oh, God, help us to stay faithful in the things of God. Amen. Not to fail God. Oh, not just for our sake. Oh, not for just Jesus' sake. But unto God for the sake of our children. May we stay faithful and holy and righteous in the things of God for our children's sake. How unto God are we to train up a child in the way he should go? Oh God, if we send out mixed signals, if we live a double standard life, come to church and shout down the glory. And yet somewhere in the dark times of the night when we don't think anybody else is looking, there's a Bathsheba coming to the bedchamber. Oh God, please let us not fail God. Hallelujah. I find in this house divided, I'd say there's rape. Ah, but if we look in the 22nd verse of the same chapter, Absalom spake unto his brother Amnon, neither good nor bad. For Absalom hated Amnon because he'd forced his sister Tamar. Notice not only rape, but there's resent. There's hate. Our brother stood this morning and said he'd been hurt at church. This is a picture here of brethren hurting brethren. Inside the house of the king. Are y'all seeing the picture now? David here is to be the type of Christ, and now the brethren amongst them, the children of God, the child, the children of the king. We see brethren hurting brethren, and we see resentment growing. We see the house dividing. We see a root of bitterness springing up. I'm telling you, if you want to keep the house of God in unity, you can't resent, you can't be bitter. You'll have to get that stuff under the blood. You'll have to get over it. You listen right here, you'll have to get over that resentment or you'll never live it down. Amen, it'll make you do things you'd have never done. Amen, this resentment, here's what it does. It leads to retaliation. You'll find in the same chapter, in the 28th verse, now Absalom had commanded his servant, saying, mark you now when Amnon's heart is merry with wine. When I say unto you, smite Amnon, then kill him. Fear not, I have not commanded you. Be courageous and be valiant. And then we see in the 29th, the servant Absalom did unto Amnon as Absalom had commanded. We find here now brothers calling out and saying, kill him, kill him. How many of our own soldiers have been wounded along the way because we've grown resentment and bitterness toward them. And we've taken out a command and said, kill him, kill him. Wise down and wise done wrong, no doubt. We've slain our own. You'll never live it down. Far worse than this in the life of Absalom, in the life of Amnon and Tamar. Imagine David from the outskirts looking down and saying, what have I done? What have I done? Yes. Amen. This misery causes that divided house. And I ain't got 2 hours, so I'm hurrying and saying, if you read on, Absalom would then play the great politician and stand and persuade the men, cause him to fall in love with him, and rob the kingdom from his own daddy. What a house divided. Going there and lay with his wives in front of the whole town, in front of all of Jerusalem. Hear me in this, what David did in the secret chamber of his bed, Absalom did in front of all of Israel to bring slander, shame, and reproach to the king. Boy, how you ever live that down. God help us, Brother Nathan. It's a divided house. Can I say this in this misery? We find a diseased heir in chapter 13. Let's move ahead. Chapter number 18 brings us a diseased heir. Absalom here, the great heir, in verse 15, and 10 young men that bear Joab's armor compassed about and smote Absalom and slew him. First son died in chapter 12. Next one, chapter 13. Now in chapter number 18, David had to watch another one. How does he respond? You'll find in verse 33. And the king was much moved and went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And as he went, I didn't wait till he got there to start weeping. And thus he said, "Oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I died for thee. Oh, Absalom, my son." David said, "I'm guilty of death. It should have been me. I'm alive, but I'll never live it down. Oh, it's bigger than me." How many of you be willing to flirt with a God of judgment, a God of wrath? Oh, as much as a God of mercy, he's a God of judgment. And rightfully so, for he is God, and there is none other. Absalom, my son, would to God that I died. He didn't have anything to take his place. What's he saying? I'd have been better off dead. Now I can't live it down. You'll find here the despair heard in chapter number 19. And as it was told Joab, "Behold, the king weepeth and mourneth for Absalom. And the victory that day was turned into mourning unto all the people, for the people heard say that day how the king was grieved for his son." It's something, watch it, you'll never live it down. It'll echo throughout the rest of your life. The despair that comes from your soul, for you sin so far against God that you cannot handle the pain and the pressure that come with it. Cain, after slaying Abel, it was not the fact, I believe, that he slew Abel. But the Bible said, and Cain left the presence of the Lord. God put a mark on him, and he said, "Thy punishment is greater than I can bear." If you get to the place where you leave the presence of a loving God, I'm not talking about losing your salvation, but I'm talking about getting so far from God where you can't feel God. You've lost. Hey, you've sinned so far that it doesn't even bother you to sin anymore. At first, even the thought would cringe you and grieve the Holy Ghost. Then after the sin once and then twice and then a third time, oh yes, it grieved God and it grieved you and you were remorseful. Yet you could not repent. You could not come back to God in remorse, regardless of how great is not repentance. The burden gets heavier, the sin grows stronger. Eventually you no longer feel God like you used to. And you'd give anything to get back your touch and the grace of God. But you'll never let it down. The misery. The misery is heard from all the people around. You know about David, what he did with Bathsheba, what happened with Uriah. And you've heard how Amnon raped Tamar. You've heard how Absalom killed Ammon. You heard how that child that him and Bathsheba had, it died. Heard about how Joab threw them darts inside Absalom when he had his hair hung up in that tree. That's a good idea to cut your hair. It won't get hung in the tree. And the enemy won't catch you and pierce you with his darts. I preached one time, careful where you're hanging. It ain't a good idea to be hanging up in a tree when the enemy's after you, is it? And then men came by and slew him. David's miserable. When I read verse 33, I feel his pain, his agony. I feel his heartbreak. I somewhere in the midst of reading between the verses, and I'm not trying to add the scripture, but I can almost hear him say, "Oh God, what have I done?" God help us. Take your Bible and turn the book of Psalms in the 32nd chapter. I know most would use the 51st here, and I specifically didn't for that reason. Look at chapter 32. I'll give you this last point. Notice here, the sixth point, notice the misconception. Let me say it like this. The great misconception is that failure is finality. Do you hear me? The great misconception of mankind is that when someone fails, it's final. But I'm glad somewhere lurking in the shadows of our failure, there's a forgiven God. You say, "Preacher, I don't know. I don't." Ah, you hear me in this. He's a forgiven God.
Amen.
Amen. Let's read about, I don't know. Can we read the chapter? Y'all going anywhere? It ain't going to hurt us to read 11 verses. That'll be more Bible than some of you read the rest of the week. Amen. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. Day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. For this shall every one that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance, Selah. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be not as the horse or as the mule, which hath no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord's mercy shall compass him about. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice. Ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. Let me say something about this misconception. And the good news is, you'll find in verse number 5, he said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Amen. Yeah, business is picking up. Yes. If we confess our sins, he is faithful. And hey, amen. He is faithful, thank God for that, to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Yeah, boy. I'm glad, thank God, right in the midst of confession, he begins to not, our iniquities are not imputed on us. We find here the misconception is defeated with a confession. We find in verse number 2, blessed man. Well, in verse 1 and 2, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, in whose spirit there is no guile. Notice here now the covering. His sin is covered. Get this, it's gone. You don't have to be excited about it. They sang that song, "My sins are gone, my sins are gone." You don't have, y'all don't have to be excited. I'm just talking about your sins. Are gone. Amen. The confession. The covering. Boy, I love verse 7. He said, thou art my hiding place. He said, thou art. Notice here the comfort. Thou art. Yeah, this ain't Solomon. This ain't David. This is him. Thou art my hiding place. Yeah, thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about. Yeah, it's God. I don't know anything more comforting when God shows up. He sends Solomon. He sends that peace. He sends that perfection. He comes and comforts us. Yeah. Well, he's the one that messed up, not him. I wish I could preach it like I'm feeling it. I'm feeling it, son, real good. I can't say. I wish I could spit it out. But we're the ones that messed up. And he's the one comforting us. We don't deserve it. But thank God, he's merciful. Amen. Verse number 11, I find the charge. He said, be glad in the Lord. Look up here now. Some of you have done something wrong in your past and God's forgiven you. He's covered your sin. You've confessed it. It's been covered. You've been comforted. But you can't forgive yourself. You can't be happy. God said, be glad the Lord. Hey, they may not let you live it down. The whole world may talk about you. The brethren may run you down about it. But God said, be glad in the Lord. If God's over it, honey, I say be glad in the Lord. He's charging us to be happy. Then the commencement in the same verse, be glad in the Lord and rejoice. Yeah. Amen. Ye righteous, and shout for joy. Oh, you're upright and hard. I can't preach on shouting too much tonight because I preached on it so much this morning. Y'all think I ain't got nothing else. If God's forgave you, instead of running around just feeling so bad about what you've done, don't get me wrong, I understand it's hard to live it down when nobody around you will let you live it down. But God's just saying, be happy, cheer up, be glad in the Lord, and shout it out. He said, be happy for what I've done for you. You walk, well, but you don't know how bad I've been. Good, I'm glad I don't. Amen. Take it to God. Get it underneath the blood. Amen. Let him forgive you. Forgive yourself. Don't give a rip by who knows about it when they talk about you about it. Just go on for the cause of Christ and be happy and rejoice about what God's done for you and forget about that crowd. Well, yeah, you'll never live it down because somebody will always know about it. You know, I say to them, hogwash. I don't give a rip what you think. Hey, I'm not on trial here. What I've done's not on trial. You have no right to judge my sin. My sins are gone. Christ has forgiven me. You have to try the blood of Jesus, and his blood washes away all my sin. Yeah, that ought to be enough to be happy. That ought to be enough to shout a little bit. That old classic, you bleed there for what they've done, they can still shout in church. I'm thinking you resentful, bitter somebody. Your house is about to split up and be divided. Hey man, you're the one, the problem. I'm serving a God that forgives, a God that loves, a God that's that's compassed me with songs, and a God that's compassed me with mercy. My sins are gone. Verse 7, thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Yes. Amen. Right about the time the devil thought he had me. Right about the time the brethren thought they'd run me down enough, I was going to quit. the God of glory come by and started singing love songs to me. He come past me about with songs of deliverance. He's singing to me, your sins are gone. Your sins are gone. They're underneath the blood of the cross of Calvary. I say glory to God. I've been compassed about by songs of deliverance. Yep. Verse 10, many sorrows. Y'all getting that? Many sorrows shall be the wicked. Every time you mess up, bless God, you're going to feel sorry about it. Yeah, but he that trusts in the Lord, mercy shall compass him about. Yes, I'm glad he compasses with songs of deliverance, but I'm glad he compasses about with mercy. Yes. When I don't deserve it, he finds more mercy. Where sin did abound, much more did grace abound. It's not about what I've done anyhow. It's about what he's done for me. It's about what he's done for me. They may never let you live it down, but I got a God that'll put that stuff underneath the blood. And I'm pretty sure it said, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. Yes. Whose sin is covered. Does anybody know what's underneath that coat for sure? Some might say, well, I know that's an old trash can he keeps in the pulpit. Throws all them water bottles in. But you don't know. You may think it, friend, but you don't know. Because God's covered it up. God's covered it up. God's covered it up. Let me help some of you on this. Quit telling everybody about what you did. Yeah. Hey, they won't know about it if you don't tell them, because God ain't talking about it anymore. If God already chose to forget it, if God's already chose to forgive you, bless your heart, just keep your mouth shut and quit talking about it. It's covered up. It's covered up. I can hear that old smart aleck deacon right now. Well, I know what they did. Yeah. Shut up, deacon. Amen. I can hear that one that's bitter. I know what's under there. Yeah, but if you're going to come to God with it and God says, I don't know, you better back off, bud. You ain't big and bad as you think you are. God said it's gone. You may never live it down. Listen, but you can live on. You can live on. I'm going to give you a verse, 2 Samuel, going back where we were. One verse. Chapter 12, 2 Samuel 12, 13. And David said to Nathan, I've sinned against the Lord. Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. You may not live it down, but you live on. You may not live it down, but bless you. Put away. What sin you talking about now? He not only covered it, he put it away. For those of you that are not very educated, I'm not talking about your ignorance, I'm just trying to, put away means as if it never happened. It's gone. You may not live it, they may not let you live it down, but you can live on. If you're going to live it on, you got to get chapter 32 and get in that last verse and just rejoice. that He lets you live on. Rejoice that the sin's gone. Rejoice that you still got another day to live on for the cause of Christ. Got good news here. After this, David went on to fight battles again. He finished off the family of Goliath. He's still a giant killer. Yeah, boy. Hey, man. He went on to live to fight another day. Best thing you can do in your life, if God's forgiven you and forgotten about it, quit telling everybody about it. Be glad in the Lord. Amen. And just rejoice and live on. And live on. Let's stand to our feet. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed.